This is Jordan Seculo. Today in Washington, D.C., the ACLJ testifies before Congress for imprisoned pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Trump has repeatedly demanded his release. Vice President Pence has repeatedly demanded his release. And Secretary Tillerson has demanded his release. And yet, on August 24th, Turkey responds by levying additional ridiculous accusations against Pastor Brunson. These just as ludicrous and disconcerting as the original.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And still not one piece of evidence has been presented to support any of the accusations against this innocent pastor. Pastor Brunson maintains his innocence and denies all the accusations and reiterates that he has been in Turkey for the past 23 years for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to tell about Jesus Christ.
I know my dad and his character is only a daughter can, and I know the charges against him are absurd. My father is not an armed terrorist trying to overthrow any government. He has selflessly served Turkey for 24 years now. Everything in his life is centered on his faith. For my family, who has loved, served, and prayed for Turkey and its people, seeing these absurd charges brought against my father has been an extremely painful experience.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hi, this is Jordan Sekulow, and welcome to the broadcast today. Folks, we've got a special show for you because ACLJ attorney CeCe Heil just testified before the Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe. It's part of the U.S. Congress. It's also known as the U.S. Helsinki Commission, which is a U.S. government agency that promotes human rights, military security, and economic cooperation in 57 countries in Europe, Eurasia, and North America. There are 9 commissioners that are members of the Senate and 9 from the House of Representatives and 3 executive branch officials. So you're talking about not just speaking to Congress, but to the executive branch, to both the House and the Senate. CeCe Heil, a senior attorney, just testified there before this commission, the Helsinki Commission. I've testified before. You answer questions, you present your case to the members of Congress and to those who are there from both sides of the aisle. And she was joined by the daughter of the American pastor imprisoned in Turkey, Andrew Brunson's daughter, Jacqueline Funari, who also bravely, I have to say this, when family members get up before in these very formal settings like the commission, and testify, you've got to, again, be very brave to do that when you're talking about your own family member being imprisoned far away now in Turkey, and it's gone on 404 days as of today. An email is out to you through ACLJ. I hope you get that email, receive that email that has all the current facts about Pastor Andrew Brunson's situation. We come back from the break. Both CeCe Heil, the senior ACLJ attorney who testified before the commission, is going to be joining us to talk about that experience, what went on at the commission. Again, a lot has changed in Turkey. We've talked about that on the broadcast before. And we're also going to be joined by Pastor Andrew Brunson's daughter. She's also in our studio in Washington, D.C., Jacqueline Funari. She will be joining us as well, both live, just after leaving their testimonies that they gave before Congress today. If you want to talk to us on air and you have questions for them, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, there's ways for people to engage online as well.
That's right. Like I said, you can go join us right now on Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow. It's the latest post right now, facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, ACLJ.org, Twitter and Periscope at Jay Sekulow. And again, phone lines have just opened up at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today.
All right, folks, we'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. You don't want to miss this. Again, Pastor Andrew Brunson's daughter joining us live. She just bravely testified before Congress about her father's wrongful imprisonment because of his Christian faith in Turkey. She grew up in Turkey as well. They spent 23 years there. And again, just wants her father home. She'll be joining us live in studio in Washington, D.C., as well as our senior counsel who also testified along with Jacqueline. CeCe Heil will be joining us. So you don't want to miss this, folks, and give us a call. We want your questions on the persecuted church. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Today is the 404th day that Pastor Andrew Brunson has been imprisoned wrongfully, illegally in Turkey because he is a Christian. And Turkey, not like Iran or North Korea, is a NATO ally that has no excuse for imprisoning American because of their Christian faith. But that is what they have done for 404 days. President Trump has engaged this. Vice President Pence has engaged this. The Secretary of State has engaged this. Lower-level diplomats as well. But today, we ratcheted up the pressure. We took it right to Congress, to the Helsinki Commission, which is a committee-type hearing of members of Congress from both the House and the Senate, as well as the executive branch, that focus on these issues of human rights in Europe and Eurasia, which Turkey is a part of. And we have joining us now in our studios in Washington, D.C., both C.C. Howell, an attorney with the ACLJ, senior counsel with the ACLJ, who testified today at the Helsinki Commission, and Jacqueline Funari, who is the daughter of Pastor Andrew Brunson, who testified today as well. She, again, is in Washington, D.C., in the studio. Let's go first to Jacqueline. And I wanted to ask you, Jacqueline, what it was like today testifying before Congress, and what was your message to the members of the Helsinki Commission?
So this was actually a very interesting experience for me. I think one day it'll make for a great story, but I was feeling pretty nervous going before these important people, bringing such a heavy matter before them. I mean, this is my dad who's at stake, so I felt a lot more invested. I was pretty nervous about messing up, but I think I communicated my point. I was really just trying to paint the picture of what the situation has looked like for my dad in the last year, what it's looked like for my family, how my dad has been really suffering by missing out on time with us and missing seeing his children growing up, missing being with his wife, seeing major life events like my wedding and my upcoming graduation.
Yeah, you even
I was
were
really trying to drive that home.
Yeah, Jacqueline, you were even at one point just trying to delay your wedding day because you hoped to have your dad back at home in the U.S. to walk you down the aisle.
Yes, my husband and I wanted to delay the wedding, but because he's in the military, we couldn't. So what we did is we had a civil service. And right now we're still waiting to have an actual wedding ceremony where wow. I wear the dress, my dad walks me down the aisle. That's something wow. that I promised my dad, and we're still waiting for that.
Yeah, it's the human experience. I want to talk about that more in a minute. If you want to talk to Jacqueline Brunson, the daughter of Pastor Andrew Brunson, it's a great time to offer words of encouragement or ask questions to her about this experience, having her father imprisoned overseas in Turkey for because of his Christian faith, because he is a pastor, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Now let me go to CeCe Heil, also in the studio with Jacqueline. We've only got one camera in Washington, D.C., but CeCe is there as well. She's our senior counsel who also testified today before the commission. CeCe, tell us about the experience and about the reception of the committee members.
Well, I'll say that, first of all, Jacqueline did an excellent job. She really brought the heart to the issue, and you could see that the commissioners were deeply moved by her testimony. So she did an excellent job representing her father. It was a great experience. Of course, the Helsinki Commission, all the commissioners are, you know, on the side of Turkey releasing Pastor Brunson. So we were among friends and senators and representatives who have the same goal of getting innocent Pastor Brunson back to the United States.
And I know there are other panelists there, and we'll play some of that for people when you're no longer in the studio, and so they can kind of see, for people who watch on Facebook and Periscope, they can actually see some of the testimony today. They'll be able to see that during the normal radio breaks. But what was the committee members like? The questions from the members of Congress about Pastor Brunson, were they up to date? I know some have worked on it very aggressively, while others may not have known as much.
Yes, they all seemed to be very engaged and up to date, and their main concern was what could they do to help see Pastor Brunson home. And they were all incredulous that he's been able to be held like we are for a year without any charges being brought against him, without any evidence, you know, being brought forth, that he can literally sit there for up to 7 years now with the state of emergency and the following emergency decrees, literally 7 years without any charges even being brought against him. So, you know, it's a desperate situation, and I think they are very motivated to do what they can to get him home.
You had senators there, you had House members there, executive branch members can also attend. I know there were other people testifying about the situation and how it has changed in Turkey for religious minorities and for those who seek freedom and human rights, which is, again, important part of the work we do at the ACLJ that we can't do without your support. This has gone on way too long. I mean, we are literally at exactly 404 days of Pastor Brunson's imprisonment in Turkey solely because he is a Christian. I want to go back to Jacqueline, Pastor Brunson's daughter, because she testified today as well. And Jacqueline, first let me say, I've testified before. I didn't have to testify on behalf of a family member. That you were very brave for doing that and for coming before Congress. Tell people though what the experience has been like for your family since your father was imprisoned, and now that this has gone on over a year.
So I would say for my family, this whole experience has been, if I could sum it up in one word, would be uncertainty. Because as each day moves forward, my family keeps thinking maybe today is the day, or maybe my dad will be back for Christmas or New Year's, any number of events. So the last year has just been a really long waiting game full of a lot of uncertainty, worry, tears, especially when we get our hopes up and then things don't work out. So it's been a very difficult year for my family going through all of that.
You know, we've got
uncertainty in the changing picture.
Yeah, I mean, that you are listening. If you're not watching, you're hearing Jacqueline Funari, the daughter of American pastor Andrew Brunson, who was imprisoned in Turkey now 404 days. They were both testifying. She was testifying along with our senior counsel CeCe Heil before Congress today. We've got some comments coming in on Facebook, and I think CeCe, the first one would be for you to answer, and Logan will read that question.
We're going from Patricia, or yep. from Patricia, she said on Facebook, is the White House involved in getting Pastor Andrew Brunson home?
Absolutely, Patricia. The White House has been very engaged. President Trump has demanded Pastor Brunson's release on multiple occasions, directly with President Erdogan, and Vice President Pence has demanded his release on multiple occasions, and they don't miss an opportunity to demand his release. Even the recent visit with the Prime Minister, Vice President Pence, brought up Pastor Brunson and demanded his release. So the White House is heavily engaged in getting Pastor Brunson back.
Second question coming in, Logan, I think this one could go to Jacqueline from Roberta. Read that one out.
Yeah, Roberta asks on Facebook again, why is Turkey not sending the pastor back to America?
Jacqueline, you grew up in Turkey, but there have been significant changes in the way the Turkish government is run since you've lived there?
Yes, honestly, the Turkey that I grew up in is not the Turkey that I'm looking at today. It's not the Turkey that's holding my dad. The country has undergone a lot of changes, and my dad has just, he's been caught up in it. Turkey identified an opportunity to use my dad as a bargaining chip with the U.S., and they seized that.
Yeah.
So that's why my dad hasn't been released. He's a bargaining chip for Turkey and U.S.-Turkey relations.
Being used as a pawn between two countries that are military allies. You're not supposed to act that way when you are military allies, and there are more extreme measures that can be taken here. And I think what Jacqueline has done today, along with Cece Hall, our senior counsel, is how you become effective in then taking this up to the next level, bringing more attention, getting this on, again, here, making those members of Congress, and if they're on the Helsinki Commission, they really care about these issues. So when they hear from someone like Jacqueline, who is the daughter of an American pastor in prison in Turkey because he's a Christian for 404 days, and they have to see her and hear from her, it has an impact on them. It has an impact on their staff. They work that much harder on seeing to his release. They get that much more involved and that much more pressure. There's a lot of engagement between these members of Congress and Turkey because of that NATO alliance. And so I'd ask Cece today, what do we expect out of now that you know, I know after these hearings, a lot of the members of Congress will come up and speak to those of you who testified, and they've done that when I've testified. What do you think is like kind of the next step on Capitol Hill?
Well, they kept the testimony open, so we will still have some written requests from them that we will respond to. And I think that they're re-engagement now and holding the State Department and the administration, you know, accountable for what they do and telling them that, you know, not only is this Pastor Brunson issue important for you all, but it's important to us as well. And we want to know how best we can help you.
Folks, you have, again, had the opportunity to hear live from both Jacqueline Funari, the daughter of American pastor Andrew Brunson, who's now been imprisoned 404 days in Turkey. An email went out to you today, if you're on our list, detailing all of the current information. They've lived there for 23 years, 404 days in prison, all because he's a Christian facing potentially serious charges that carry serious penalties. But he could be let go by the president of Turkey very quickly if the pressure was there from the U.S. Also, you heard from Cece Hall. They both testified before Congress today. We thank them for also then coming on our broadcast and answering our questions and telling us about their stories. Go to aclj.org. We'll get videos up of the committee hearing today. We'll be playing those for people during the break. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed. I think that was incredible to have both CeCe Howell, our senior counsel, who just literally testified on Capitol Hill before Congress on the imprisonment of Pastor Andrew Brunson, an American pastor imprisoned in Turkey now 404 days. And then we were also joined by Jacqueline Funari, who is Pastor Brunson's daughter. And she testified as well before Congress. And she was bravely did that and then came across the street from Congress to our studios in Washington, D.C. to join us live on the air and tell us about that experience. So, folks, that, again, shows you the kind of depth and the abilities of the ACLJ, what we're able and capable of doing many things at the same time in Washington, D.C., here in our broadcast studios here and around the world as well and around the country where we've got cases going on. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is joining us now. Than, was you were at the hearing today. Again, I just want to get your reaction from, you've attended and you've been a part, you've worked for Congress. You've attended lots of hearings today. Before, what was today's hearing like?
Well, first of all, Jordan, I think you said it well. It's always so great to put a face with a name. These members of this commission deal with a lot of cases that involve people, but when you can put the victim in front of them or the family of the person that is suffering, in this case, the daughter of Pastor Brunson, it's always very powerful. Jordan, something that made this hearing even, I think, better. The Brunson's senator, Tom Tillis, was sitting in the chair for the commission. Normally it's chaired by Chris Smith, our good friend, and then Roger Wicker on the Senate side. But they put Tom Tillis in the chair today because he has such a vested interest in this case. You had heroic testimony from Jacqueline. She did a great job. It takes a lot of courage for a 19-year-old to go in front of a congressional committee like that and testify about what her father's been going through. She did a great job. But, Jordan, the main takeaway for me from a policy perspective is it was very clear from the testimony of the State Department, as well as Jacqueline and CeCe, as well as the other witness, that both the United States and Turkey, Jordan, desperately need a good relationship. And this issue is standing in the way of that. So both countries have a very strong vested interest in sending Pastor Brunson home. I think that message was loud and clear, and we're going to take that down to the White House as well.
Yeah, we've got some of that testimony from the State Department representative who was there at the hearing. We'll play that for you, but we've got a phone call we want to take now. Let's go to it.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to line two, Melanie in Savannah, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Melanie.
Hi, I was just wondering if you could explain to your audience how Pastor Brunson has been over in Turkey preaching for over 20 years without a problem, and now we have all this.
Yeah, so Pastor Brunson's work, again, Turkey is a majority Muslim country, but is for many decades was seen as kind of a model of how Islam and democracy could work together in a sense where in a society that is predominantly Muslim, 95% plus, maybe even more Muslim, but still have freedoms, decisions you can make, religious freedom as well for the religious minorities and freedom of speech and actual elections that a military that can be trusted and is an ally of the U.S. They are a member of NATO. So this is not like going to be a missionary in a tough country in Africa or a place like Iran or a China or a North Korea. This is, again, it's predominantly Muslim, but allows churches. Pastor Brunson was doing this work for 23 years, never had an issue. And then suddenly after this change in leadership, which has moved more Islamic, certainly, he is detained. He's supposed to be just deported. And, Turkey, as an independent nation, they can deport non-citizens if they want to. That we would disagree with that. You could fight that. But quickly, they changed his deportation to and took him out of that facility and then put him in a maximum security prison, where he has no attorney-client privilege. Every communication he has is recorded and videotaped. So, I mean, he's in a difficult spot. He does get consular visits. Take a listen, because Congressman Randy Holcrin from Illinois, a Republican at the hearing today, asked Jonathan Cohen, the Deputy Assistant Secretary a Bureau of European and Eurasian Affairs at the State Department, what Congress can do to get Pastor Brunson home. Take a listen.
You talked quite a bit about Pastor Brunson. Grateful to hear that you've been able to provide consular service to him and his family there. Wondering if you could talk a little bit more of what we can be doing to help, if anything, especially for Pastor Brunson, to get that release as soon as possible.
Engagement is critical. The fact that the Senate and the House have sent letters to Turkish officials expressing their concern is important. I would encourage you to, if you travel to Turkey, to meet with Turkish officials and raise these issues. If you have the opportunity here in Washington to meet with representatives from the Turkish embassy to do the same, or to meet with Turkish officials when they come and visit.
So you see, again, that important role the executive branch is telling Congress they have. It's why we were there with our attorneys testifying at the commission, why the State Department was there. Sometimes they don't show up. This time, under the Trump administration, they did. For Pastor Brunson, we've been in situations where they don't show up and testify for other Americans in prison because of their faith, specifically Christian faith, in the past administration. But so things have changed there under Secretary Tillerson's leadership. Than, I wanted to go to you because I did talk about this during the break for our Facebook and Periscope audience. And I think we're going to shift into this now that we've really focused in on Pastor Brunson and gotten that information. We'll have more online, too, at aclj.org. And on our Facebook pages, video of the hearing, so you'll be able to see that as well. But Than, quickly kind of tease out before we go into the next half hour of the broadcast. Remember, we've got another 30 minutes coming up of Jay Sekulow Live, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be talking taxes, but something unique in the tax plan being put together by the Senate, Than. What are you hearing about that? Is it true that the tax plan is going to cut out the mandates from Obamacare?
Well, first of all, Jordan, let me just very quickly say people should take note. We have not seen a State Department that actually asked for engagement from the legislative branch and the American people before. That was a very positive development. Wow. But yes, to answer your question, the Senate has decided that they are going to include the elimination, the zeroing out of the penalty of the individual mandate in their version of the tax plan. Now, the version that the House is going to vote on tomorrow, Jordan, is not going to contain that provision. So there will be a debate on which version will survive. The advantage of including the individual mandate, of course, that the penalty is gone and you eviscerate much of Obamacare. It also saves hundreds of billions of dollars over the next decade, which they need to get the proper score to pass it through reconciliation. Jordan, there are some other nuances. The individual tax rates on the Senate bill, they only last till 2026. So there are some trade-offs, and the House and the Senate are going to have to negotiate those differences. But yes, this is very major news. The individual mandate, long thought to not be a part of this process, Jordan, it's now in the Senate bill.
So, I mean, literally the Senate tax bill and potentially then the tax bill that's put forward by both the House and the Senate when they kind of come and reconcile those two pieces of legislation could not only cut our taxes for individuals and corporations and small businesses, especially middle-class Americans and lower-income Americans, but it would gut Obamacare as well, kind of like a two-for-one, if you will, folks. We'll talk about that. We come back from the break. Give us a call. What are your thoughts about the tax plan, including the elimination of the Obamacare mandates? 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us live on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Also, Attorney General Sessions' testimony yesterday. Some bombshells there about some investigations in the preliminary potential stages at the Department of Justice of Uranium One, the Clinton Foundation. And more we'll talk about on Jay Sekulow Live coming up in the second half hour. Go to aclj.org and support our work.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, in the second half hour of the broadcast, earlier in the show, you heard from senior counsel at the ACLJ, CeCe Howell, who testified before the Helsinki Commission, which is a congressional committee made up of members of the House and the Senate on human rights. She testified along with the daughter of American pastor Andrew Brunson, who has been in prison now in Turkey for 404 days because of his Christian faith. They both testified before the congressional committee this morning and then joined us on the radio broadcast. This is a committee that focuses in on human rights and religious liberty around the world, specifically in Europe and Eurasia. Turkey is part of Eurasia, so it's within their purview. And the State Department actually showed up. As Stan said, that is unique, that they actually showed up and told members of Congress to help. Usually they want all the control. They want to kind of micromanage everything. They don't want members of Congress getting involved at all. That was not the message we heard from the State Department today as they spoke to members of Congress. They said, we need your help. We need you to get involved. We know many of you travel to Turkey, and they do because they're a NATO ally. There's no excuse for this. So, again, that happened this morning. Then they were on the air with us live. I know we've got some questions coming in on that. Then we're going to get into taxes as well. So let's finish up with the Brunson questions and take that the first call. Yep. Then we'll get into the taxes issue and the investigations issue.
Yeah, Eva on line one is on the air in Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Eva. Hello, Jay. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
I love all the work you guys do. I really love it that you push everything. And I watch you on Hannity, and I love it.
Thank you.
Anyway, I just want to make a comment on this pastor and everything, and possibly why my thinking is they're keeping him too. Do you think it's kind of a retaliation for, wasn't it the Turkish president that was here a few months back and they had the riots and protesting, and he was pretty angry over that?
Yeah, I don't think it's retaliation over protesters in the United States because Pastor Brunson was in prison long before that. He's been in prison 404 days. Stan, I do think, though, that Eva's right that Pastor Brunson is being used, as his daughter said, as a pawn in negotiations between Turkey and the United States, which shouldn't exist. That Turkey and the United States shouldn't use pawns in negotiations. They're allies.
Yeah, if you're an ally, you should not be holding someone you do not have legitimate charges against. And if you have a legitimate charge against the pastor, you should actually charge him, which they have not done. I think, quite simply, Jordan, this is President Erdogan assuming more power after the attempted coup that happened. And here's the concern. I mean, even if you can make a case that there should have been a state of emergency for some time in Turkey, as some have, we're well past that point, Jordan. He has been in prison for 404 days without charge. Even if the president of Turkey, an ally of the United States, feels some threat to his power, holding an innocent American pastor of an ally, a NATO ally, is not an acceptable way to push it back against that threat. And I think all of the witnesses today, Jordan, made a very strong plea that if he wants to restore relations with the United States, as he says he does, then a very good first step would be returning this pastor. I don't think there's any upside to him in failing to do so.
All right, folks, phone lines are open, and I've got a question for you right now. Do you want the tax plan to cut out the Obamacare individual mandates? Do you support the tax plan, including the elimination of Obamacare's individual and employer mandates permanently? They would permanently eliminate the individual mandate in Obamacare, the employer mandate in Obamacare, so it's not just done through executive action. Do you support that move? Because that is what will be, we are hearing, will be in the Senate tax plan. Give us a call. I want to get your opinion on that. 1-800-684-3110. And do you think it can get through Congress? We want to know what you think. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, people can engage online as well. We've got some great video content coming up for our Facebook and Periscope viewers.
That's right. You can give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. But yes, you're watching online. You don't go to break. We're going to run some exclusive videos that are made just for you guys that watch online on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulo, Facebook.com/Jay Sekulo. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulo Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So switching gears now fully, talking tax policy, tax plans between the House and the Senate. We're learning more about the Senate plan, potentially including, and I want to make it clear, the elimination of the Obamacare individual mandate. It wouldn't eliminate the employer mandate. That would involve potentially other congressional committees, make the tax plan more complicated. But this really, that individual mandate guts Obamacare, because if there is no individual mandate, then again, just you understand that right now it's not being enforced, but this would make it that deletion, if you will, permanent, and is right at the heart of the Affordable Care Act. Without the individual mandate, there really isn't Obamacare. I mean, so I think then it forces Congress to go back to the table again. So it's a unique way to use tax policy and tax cuts to also get at Obamacare, start that repeal, which is what cutting the individual mandate would do. Eliminating the individual mandate would start the repeal, and it would force Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, to come back to the table on health care because they have no choice. So it kind of forces their hand as well, which I think a lot of members of Congress would like to force their fellow members to do, to get them back to the table. So it's not just status quo as things stand right now with healthcare. I'm bringing in Harry Hutchinson from our senior policy team, also an attorney. Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, is on. Logan's joining us, and we've got phone calls coming in on this. Logan, I want to go right to him.
All right, let's go to Patricia, who's calling on line one in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Or Pamela, I'm sorry, you're on the air.
Hi, Pamela.
You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead with your comment.
I live in North Carolina, and we are, and I am on an individual plan, and I am mandated to use Blue Cross Blue Shield. My premiums last year went from $500 to $783 a month just for me, and this year it's gone from $500 a month to $783. This year, $783 to $966 a month. I can't afford it, but I have no other choices. I believe cutting the mandate for the individuals is exactly what needs to happen, because it's going to give me freedom of choice.
Well, and that's why I think, Pamela, Congress is looking at doing this through the tax measure. I mean, this is specifically the Senate. The House bill doesn't include it right now. They will have to figure that out once, hopefully, each of these passes, respectively, the House and the Senate. But let me go to Harry Hutchinson, because, Harry, you heard from Pamela. These rates have gone up, up, up. It's nearly $1,000, starting, you know, in the $600 range, and just over a couple of years up to $1,000. Can't afford it. Don't have any choices. Still have the mandate on the books. Effectively, you could use the tax plan and the legislation there to gut the individual mandate. I mean, take the individual mandate out, gut Obamacare, and it would not only just provide relief from the individual mandate and tax cuts to Americans, but I think it forces Congress back to the table. They will have to do something on health care.
I think that's absolutely correct. But it's also important to note that although repeal of the individual mandate provides necessary freedom of choice, Senate procedural rules will limit the ability of the repeal effort with respect to the individual mandate. What does that mean? It means that many of the regulatory burdens that are still being imposed via Obamacare will nonetheless remain despite the repeal of the individual mandate. So I think we should celebrate the repeal of the individual mandate. I think it's onerous, it's coercive, but we should also remember, and I think Than would know better than I, that the legislation cannot repeal, waive, or otherwise relax Obamacare's heavy regulatory regime. So I think you're absolutely right. Hopefully, repeal of the individual mandate will force Congress, including Republicans and Democrats, to do something about the underlying Obamacare legislation.
I've got a poll up right now on my Twitter page. That's twitter.com/JordanSekulow. The question asked, do you want the president's tax reform plan to include the removal of the Obamacare individual mandate? Go vote in that poll now in the last segment of the broadcast, last minute of the show. We will give you the results. But again, that's at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. The question that you need to answer, and it's just yes or no, do you want the president's tax reform plan to include the removal of Obamacare's individual mandate? Go and vote in that Twitter poll right now, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Than, I mean, could this actually force Congress's hand here to actually repeal and replace Obamacare by first passing tax cuts?
Yes, and here's why. You're absolutely right to point that out, and this is why I have long been a proponent of including the individual mandate in the tax repeal. Remember, Jordan, the Supreme Court only said that Obamacare was constitutional because it was under the taxing power. That's why in a tax bill like this, it is entirely appropriate to come back and repeal the mandate. Now, to Harry's point and to answer your question, it would still leave some of those Title I regulations that were under Obamacare that Congress, you say, use the term force their hand. It would force their hand to come back and pull back on some of those requirements. Why, Jordan? Because that is the piece of it that would cause insurers to come back into these markets that are so underserved. You heard the last caller talking about only having one choice available to her in the market. Congress would have to come back on that piece of it to get those insurers to flood back to the market. But on the individual mandate piece of it, there is no excuse for Congress not to include it because the Supreme Court has said so clearly it is under your taxing power that Obamacare was constitutional. It is perfectly permissible in a tax bill to do away with it.
Folks, I want to know, does this get you excited about the tax plan? I mean, the Senate potentially taking a bolder move than we usually expect out of the U.S. Senate, obviously, by taking the tax plan, but also including the elimination of the individual mandate. I want to hear from you directly. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We have one to take now as well. A question about how this would work. Let's take Linda's call.
Sure. Linda in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're on the air online too.
Hey, Linda.
Hello, and God bless your work. The question I have is, would this eliminate the penalty that we have if we don't have insurance?
That's exactly what the individual mandate is. It's a mandate that has a penalty. Now, right now, the penalty is not supposed to be enforced. That's been done through agency action at HHS. But Than, this would be the ultimate elimination.
Put it on the books.
Yeah, on the books, actual law, no more individual mandate, which means in Linda's case, no more penalty.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, President Trump did away with both the individual mandate and the employer mandate as far as being applied. The penalty of it is zero. But again, Jordan, we have said this so repeatedly. You get a new secretary under a new president who likes the Obamacare structure. It takes only the stroke of a pen to bring it back. You don't have to pass new legislation. If the Senate proposal to include the elimination passes and it changes it statutorily, Jordan, it will make it permanent, and a new president couldn't do it without additional legislation.
Taking more of your phone calls. We got some lines open, so call in, folks. We really want to hear from you on this in the tax plan, because there's been a lot of debate about, can it move forward? Is it going to move forward? I think this could excite people. I mean, including some of Obamacare in it, and the elimination of the individual mandate, which would lead to then, one, getting tax plan through, but two, then forcing Congress to come back and, I think, repeal and replace Obamacare. I don't think they'd have any choice, and even Democrats would have to get on board with some of this as well. So I want to keep taking your calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. That's the number you call to be live on the air with us. We got one more segment coming up. We're going to take another call right now.
Ryan's calling on line one. Yes, give us a call. So, Ryan, you're on the air.
Hello, yes, I agree with removing that mandate, because I'm not an economist, but one of the things I do remember is right after they'd done that, that was one of the reasons that the prices had skyrocketed so much.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the mandate, the what the employers have got to mandate, what must be included in the plan, all of this, Harry, it's interesting this is coming up with the tax policy, but all of this, Harry, is why people are paying these this absurd fees, and the prices just keep going out of control, and out of control is because of all these requirements.
Absolutely.
For their plans to include, and if they don't have one of those plans, they would be penalized for it.
Absolutely. So now, if the individual mandate is repealed, this will enable consumers to purchase cheaper insurance policies. Why? Because they won't have to comply with the quote-unquote individual mandate. Many people are required today to purchase insurance that they do not want. Hence, they are paying for benefits they don't want. That causes premiums to rise. But ultimately, I think Congress will have to return to the table and remove some of the regulatory overhang that comes from Obamacare.
All right, folks, we've got one segment left, and we are going to take phone calls. That's what we do in our final segment. Yep. We take all of your calls. Got a few lines open. Logan, tell people how they can get involved in the show right now. We're talking about this question for you. Do you support cutting out the individual mandate as part of the tax cut plans in Congress?
That's right. Phone lines are lining up, so give us a call right now. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get as many voices on the air as we can to express their points of view. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, another exclusive video, I believe, coming up here in the break. That's on Facebook, Periscope, and at ACLJ.org. Phone lines are jammed, but they're going to open up.
And vote in that Twitter poll, twitter.com/JordanSekulow, if you support the removal of the individual mandate through the tax plan, twitter.com/JordanSekulow.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
First, I got to say, the phone lines are full, so we're about to head right to those phone lines. But if you're online right now and at a computer, I want you to go to twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You can follow me there, by the way. I post a lot of information. There was some information actually today out of Zimbabwe that looks like a military-style kind of coup. We have an office there, a small office operation there, and it looks like the military is taking over for right now. So I posted news on that, news that you would not expect maybe from Jordan Sekulow's Twitter feed and work that we're doing at the ACLJ. But I've got an online poll up right now at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Here's the question. Do you want the Senate's tax reform plan to include the removal of Obamacare's individual mandate? You can vote in that poll now. And right before the show is over, you got 8 minutes to vote. And then we will announce exactly how that poll turned out at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You'll see it right on the top of my Twitter page. It's pinned right to the top. So go and vote if you're on a computer. You've got Twitter on your phone, Logan. Right to the phones we go.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Washington on line two. You're on the air. Mike, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this idea through the tax cuts to get rid of the mandate. I think that'd be great.
We're having some issues.
Mike, we had some issues, but I got your general point, and I think we all agree. We think it would be great, too. I mean, Harry and Than, just quickly, I think what's bigger here is not just cutting out the individual mandate. That's great. It would eliminate that, and because, you know, if we had a Democrat president coming in, you know, 8 years from now, whatever, 7 years from now, and they came in and they wanted to kind of re-up that penalty, they could, as it currently stands, because it's still on the books. It would not only provide them this great tax cuts, and we're still analyzing that, of course, none of this is finalized, but then we could actually force Congress back to the table. Just answer that. Do you believe it would basically 100% force Congress to have to deal with health care very quickly, and that would mean the repealing and replacing Obamacare, because there'd be no Obamacare left without the individual mandate? Harry first.
I think Congress would have no choice but to return to the table and reconsider the wisdom of Obamacare. In addition, the elimination of the individual mandate would eliminate the subsidization that's going on right now. In other words, many people are buying insurance they don't need so that they can subsidize health insurance premiums for other individuals. And then thirdly, repealing the individual mandate would free up money for middle class tax cuts. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Than, your thoughts?
Jordan, taking a first critical step to dismantle Obamacare would force the senators' feet to the fire to actually put a structure in its place. We saw a number of them walk away from it the first time around. This would force them back to the table. I've long been for including it. I'm glad the president sort of put the public pressure on the Senate to do so.
Back to the phones.
Yep, let's go to Lori, who's calling it Indianapolis, Indiana, on line three. You're on the air.
Hello. I would like Obamacare obliterated.
Yep.
I'm a middle-class earner, and when I checked into the Obamacare, it was going to be $300 a month with a $6,000 deductible, which I could not afford. And then I still had to pay the tax fee because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, you couldn't afford what was offered. You didn't have choices because you have to have plans that have all of this kind of expensive coverage. And basically, they don't give you option two. So if you're hurting economically, but you're in the middle class and you're not eligible for Medicaid or other subsidies, you were being penalized and you had to pay those penalties. Now, President Trump has relieved you from having to pay those penalties for going forward now, but that doesn't fully eliminate the individual mandate from the books. And that is what is so important, getting done here. And I just think it's a very creative way to, one, I mean, we got to get the tax cuts through. I mean, obviously, that is a priority one. That needs to get done. But if you can do it and also get the individual mandate eliminated and force, then you move on from tax cuts, which would be a huge victory, to another, I think, even more substantive and potential for action when it comes to repealing and replacing Obamacare. Let's take another call.
All right. Let's go to John in Washington on line one. You're on the air.
John, hello. Thanks for taking my call. God bless all of you. I wanted to just speak up on behalf of Pastor Bronson. He's, as a pastor, is much more than a tourist or visitor. He's over there to serve the people, and I'm sure that he does many good things for them, and he needs to be freed immediately.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you for calling in for Pastor Bronson. It is so important today. Again, if you're just joining us, we had our senior counsel, Cece Howell, testifying along with Pastor Brunson's daughter, Jacqueline Funari. She testified as well before a congressional committee. Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, is on the show right now, was there at the, it's called the Helsinki Commission, has members of the Senate and the House of Representatives. We're working hard. Congress is working hard. The State Department is working hard. The Trump administration. And there's no excuse for this pastor to be in prison for 404 days. Logan, got a couple more calls up, and I think we can get to both of them before the show is over. Right. Let's encourage people. Hey, Twitter.com/JordanSecular. You still got a couple minutes, to vote in the poll. Do you want the individual mandate eliminated as part of the tax plan?
All right, Deborah, line four. You're on the air in Kansas City. Go ahead.
Hi. This is an interesting thing, because if we remember when we were all screaming that our freedoms were being taken away from us, Congress basically made this a tax. So I think it's great it's in the tax bill. So I love that the individual mandate is ending up in the tax bill, because we were pretty much told that that's inevitably what it was. So.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think that you make a great point, because remember, ultimately, the individual mandate was saved by the Supreme Court, because even though the Obama administration did not want to call it a tax, the court deemed it to be a tax, and thus within complete authority of Congress to enact taxes, and for the president then to sign them into law. So I think you make a great point there. Remember that whole case before the Supreme Court was on the mandates, because everyone knew that if you cut the mandates, Obamacare doesn't exist. It guts the law, and it can't stand. You have to do something else on health care. Logan, let's take the next call.
All right. And in Houston, last call of the day, you're on the air.
Yes, I am in favor of the mandate, but will it allow the insurance companies to cross state lines?
In favor of getting rid of the mandate.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
So, Than, under this would be the tax plan, which would eliminate the mandate, individual mandate, which hopefully then will, I mean, I don't think hopefully, it will definitely lead to then a new debate on repeal and replace of Obamacare, and that's when you get into the state lines issue. This can't do it all in the tax plan. This is not the health care bill.
You would need additional legislation on that specific point, Jordan, but I will say there is a move underway inside the administration to expand the ERISA program so people can band together for associated health plans and buy across state lines. So that's not for everyone listening, but it is a step in the right direction. And if the individual mandate goes, I actually think this is a pretty natural second or third step. I think it would come eventually.
All right, folks, we appreciate it. Let's go. We can go to that Twitter poll now. Logan, do you want to read the results?
Hey, you go ahead. Actually, I'll pull it
up. All
right,
I'm refreshing my Twitter feed right now. We've had 447 votes in just a few minutes.
Bigger than most polls.
Yep, and 94% of you have voted yes. You do want the Senate tax plan to include the removal of Obamacare's individual mandates. But hey, 6% said no out of the 447 votes. You can keep voting in that online poll. It's at twitter.com/JordanSeculo. That'll be up there on my Twitter page as well. Stay updated with us and go to aclj.org. We have a matching challenge right now. All this work that we do because of your donations. Double your donation at aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.